have to finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich. No way. Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And when I tell you guys out there that I don't understand something during this segment, I assure you I'm not feigning ignorance. There are some things about this man's current projects that I don't in any way, shape, or form understand. Mm-hmm. So believe me, I'm not dismissing the projects by feigning ignorance.
I think some of the most fun times of my life was like when I was a freshman in college. I think that was the one period of my existence where I just had a lot of time on my hands to do dumb stuff and just screw around. This is a gentleman who apparently does too, and thank God, because I had never heard of this gentleman until I was sent some audio from him, and I spent an entire evening last night listening to this man's work. His name is Chris James, and Chris James is just a guy who thought, you know what, I don't like Curt Schilling very much, so I'm going to call his Breitbart TV radio, whatever show it is.
Yeah, what I don't know
over
what
and over it. And screw with Curt Schilling.
Right, which shows you the volume of callers that are coming in. And also, I don't understand if it's Breitbart. I don't know if it's on the website. All I know is it's just him at a table, I assume in his house.
With a headset on.
With a headset on and a camera at a very odd angle.
He did a montage of one show of all the times he just like choked on his own phlegm. And it was like a minute of just disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, Schilling has been, from one time, he was a multi-million-dollar voice of baseball, but that was not enough for him. Now he is a very undereducated political maven.
Okay, so this guy's got videos, and he puts it up there. The only critique I will have for Mr. Chris James is that he puts like banjo music underneath it. So just try to ignore that. Okay. And this is from one of his videos, and this is the first call I guess that he made to Curt Schilling's show. And the great thing is that you know you get to hear and see Curt Schilling react to all of this.
Right.
So let's go to and Curt Schilling. Expert at dealing with trolls.
He's so intelligent and quick-witted that I would imagine if only you could speak a meme, then he would be, that as someone else wrote.
John from Washington. What's up, John?
Hey, Kurt. How are you this morning?
I'm good. What can I do for you this morning?
Oh, I was just curious. I read all these articles about this this studio, this
38 Studios?
Video game studio.
Yeah, 38 Studios.
Oh, you know about it?
Yeah, it was my company for about five and a half years.
I read about how it was going to be this revolutionary video game company, and then I sort of stopped hearing about it.
Yeah, I know. It was a pretty amazing place for about 5.5 years, and then we had a shortfall in funding, and you got to call it in debate, dude. Debate something instead of sounding like a pedophile. Because that's exactly what it sounded like.
Oh, is it? Is that what pedophiles sound like?
You hanging out with pedophiles? Like, how would you know?
Instead of... he obviously dumped something. I gotta believe.
Yeah.
If he has a dump button. But instead of sounding like a pedophile? What? Whose frame of reference is that? Oh, boy. Sounds like you sound like a pedophile. Okay. Well, all right. Good one, Kurt.
You kind of went pretty about as extreme as you could out there.
Like, wow. Okay. You cut him to the quick.
Instead of sounding like a pedophile, because that's exactly what it sounded like. Very awkward sounding pedophile. Yeah. I am calling you a pedophile.
What? No, no.
Just, what the hell is he doing? He's so phenomenally dumb.
I'm calling you a pedophile.
I am calling you a pedophile. But what? Like, what are you talking about?
I can just see John from Vegas right now listening and going,
John from Vegas, I can't guarantee that you'll get through. Can you imagine getting... So the guy, obviously, I would imagine there's a dump button. I'm not positive there is because I don't know if they can afford that technology.
There's got obviously something that was missing there.
Right. And so his comeback to someone talking about a national story of him failing as a businessman, his comeback to him is, yes, I'm calling you a pedophile? Oh, is he dumb.
So this gentleman, Chris James continues to call him. I believe this is during the same show.
Well, I can only imagine the next things that he calls
him. He seems to continue to just be able to get in. No problem.
Well, you could do our show, too, if you really wanted to. But, all right, here we go. Here is more of Kurt Schilling's project. I don't know exactly how you view it, but you can ask Zolak. So, here we go. Here is Kurt Schilling with this fellow calling him again.
Chris from California.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, sorry. Hey, Kurt, how are you doing?
Good. What's on your
big
mind,
fan
buddy?
Of yours. You look fat as today, but I love you, man.
That's funny. Okay, are you calling in for something?
No, I was just calling in. I'm a really big fan of yours. I'm racist and I'm homophobic. And
right. No, actually, sort of you're Californian. You don't need to go with all those. Just say you're Californian. That covers all those. Okay, what else? What else you got for me, Chris?
Oh, am I still there?
No, yeah, we haven't hung up. Go ahead. Come on.
Oh, sorry. It's usually hang up. I'm really scared all the time, and I'm always looking for outlets as far as like things that I can point to for why my life.
Again, you don't need to explain those things, dude. You don't need to explain those things. Just say you're liberal. That covers it all.
I'm not liberal. I'm a conservative. I'm
not a big fan of yours. There's nothing conservative about you. You're a coward and a fraud because you can't call in with anything to debate or talk about other than the fact that you're a dumbass. Oh, anyway, go ahead.
Kurt, I'm not a coward.
Sure you are.
I'm not a coward.
Sure you are.
That's exactly what you are. A cowardly move would be to say that I'm running for Senate
and then ask
my wife and have her not give me permission.
Never said I was running for Senate. You keep making shit up.
Your wife wouldn't give you permission to do it.
Again, that's how you got here. That's how you got here, tough guy. That's how you got here. By lying your ass off.
You want to fight me?
No.
I don't want to fight you. I want to French kiss you.
Jesus.
Boy, Kirk gets worked up.
Just like that. Listen, I just want to, trying to find someone to blame about all my failures in life. That's why I find you interesting, Kurt Schilling.
What's with the banjo music, by the way?
Well, I said that. I mean, he puts it in the background. I don't know why. So at one point during the show, Kurt Schilling is talking about somebody being defamed. So this is the clip this is just a quick clip of Kurt Schilling talking about someone being defamed.
Quote, Trump administration chose to defame me, Comey said. I didn't realize that fame was part of his appointment or his position.
Okay.
By the way, Kurt sounds alive.
Yes, he does.
He sounds electric and alive.
So after hearing that, immediately this guy, Chris James, calls in and talks about what he just heard.
Okay.
We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go north of the border now. And a Periscope viewer, Chris from Vancouver.
Oh, hey, Kurt, how are you today?
Good, what's up?
I'm a big fan. I call in all the time.
I know. Not really a fan, but you do call in. But what?
I am a fan. I'm as much of a fan as anyone else. I listen to your show every single morning. Wake up for it.
Awesome.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning.
What's up?
I noticed last week you seemed to not really understand what the word defame means, and I was curious if you figured out yet what the word means.
Yeah, it means to slander somebody,
So why do you seem to feel like it has something to do with fame, though? Because
somebody who isn't actually famous?
You understand that you can by law, right?
Right, but if you're damaging somebody's reputation, then you're defaming them.
Yeah, but
you
understand that you can do that to someone who's not famous,
Are you
right?
not defaming somebody by damaging their reputation?
Yeah, that's what the word means.
Nothing to do with fame. Right, no, but you can. If somebody's famous and you damage their reputation, you're defaming them, right?
Yes, no, I know,
okay,
but if somebody's not famous.
So you're the idiot that doesn't know what the word means. Sir, I think it's awesome that you spent your entire weekend worrying about my use of the word defame. That, to me, is funny. You got anything else?
Can I talk?
Sure.
So why did you say it's something to do with fame?
I said, how can you defame somebody who isn't shouldn't be famous?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so that shows that you don't understand the word and that you're dumb.
No, well, that's
you understand
actually,
that? Because
not,
you said, how
oh,
can you defame someone who's
wait,
not
let me
famous?
Ask you something.
That shows you're
dumb. Who's the dumbass that's up at 9 o'clock in the morning listening to somebody's show that they don't like?
It's 6 o'clock in
again,
Vancouver. You don't
again,
understand
listen,
time
zones.
Okay. Does he think defame means like
take
duh,
away someone who's
and then fame?
Oh, so
being Latin for takeaway fame.
So I didn't want to play all of them, but apparently this guy called back every day for the next 3 days and asked him about the definition of defame.
And Kurt just took them?
And Kurt was just like, oh, what else are you going to do? There's no one else calling.
Right.
So finally, there's one day where Kurt wasn't on his show because he ended up sitting in on the Howie Carr show. But Howie Carr was not there. It was somebody filling in. So let's take a listen to this call. He is a guest, whoever the person filling in for Howie Carr is. Let's take a listen.
We'll go to the phone lines again. Chris, you're next on this one with Steve and Kurt. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, hey, how are you today?
Good.
Can you ask Kurt a question for me? Kurt, are you there?
You can ask him yourself.
Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, hey, Kurt. I was just curious. Do you know, could you tell me the definition of the word defame?
Oh, this is some schmuck who calls into my show every day. I think he's Canadian. He's high every morning by 9:15.
And he followed you here.
Right, he did. He followed me over here. And he has absolutely no like political awareness whatsoever, but he tries to like call in and ask about, because
we usually have good Canadians who call in, but I had mentioned
we were talking about James Comey and somebody had said he was being how do you defame somebody that isn't actually famous?
And so he said,
oh, you used the word defamed in the wrong sentence, in the wrong context. Like,
well,
really,
in that case,
dude?
I think you might have.
Right. No, I did. But the point was to be funny. Right.
I get you, Kurt. Right. As someone who's also very funny, I understand. Sometimes people just don't get it.
Nope.
He wasn't trying to be funny.
And the guy was like, yeah, well, I think you're using it wrong. He's like, yeah.
Well, quite a career.
And by the way, he's got so many more calls to Kurt Schilling. You just
and he never changes his voice?
It's just always him, hey, Kurt. And you can tell Kurt's just like frustrated that he's got no more calls. Like, no one's calling his show.
Well,
this morning.
I think that, well, you have fun as you go into the ether. But I do think it's, Kurt is trying to somehow trap the guy.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, make him look bad.
And it's not working.
But no, it's not working in the least.
It's like that it's 6 o'clock in Vancouver. You don't understand time zones.
By the way, you're a coward and a fraud. How? I'm calling into your show. What do you know about me? And you sound like a pedophile.
I mean, that's just like the worst.
No, it's just, you know, it's terrible. All right. Jeff Howe is going to be joining us. He can talk about the recent trials and tribulations of your New England Patriots. We'll have him in just a moment.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Near side, it's up for grabs, and it's going to be intercepted by Hayden if he came down in bounds. He leaps over two Patriots, and he lands inside the four. And a turnover for the Steelers to celebrate, posing for a picture in the end zone.
Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
And Julian Edelman has gone down on all fours as we take the timeout midway through the fourth quarter.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That was a very uncharacteristic play by Tom Brady, let alone any veteran quarterback. I mean, that would have been a bad play in college as he tries to flip the ball out of bounds and gets a good play by Hayden. He obviously can jump. But Jeff Howe is on the phone with us from The Athletic. He covers the Patriots. Hello, Jeff.
How we doing, guys?
We are doing well. I heard you on the pregame here at 98.5 The Sports Hub, and you were talking about Tom Brady's knee. And as you told us, you don't believe that it was the brace that was the problem. Did you see anything on Sunday that made you think that the knee is still a problem?
Not physically, and I really look at that last throw to Edelman, the long completion on the final drive there, the one that really set them up deeper into Steelers territory. I mean, that might have been his best throw of the night. So, you know, if the knee was going to be an issue, and I don't think this is going to be a major thing the rest of the season, I think it's just going to be something that causes him pain, and every now and then maybe it locks up on him from time to time. The rest of the way, but I don't think it's anything overly serious at this point. But again, you look at the weather conditions, the fact that it was a tough game for him. He took a handful of hits and he was still able to make his best throw of the night on the final drive. So I think physically, you know, he's able to go out there and do what he wants to do. You know, every now and then you see him ducking out of the way of pressure and you wonder if that's a little bit overcautious in terms of self-preservation. Not that you'd really blame him on that, because And you don't want that guy going down and missing any time, especially with the way the season's going at this point. So, you know, I think you got to factor it all in, but just tracing back to that Gronk touchdown in Miami, look, I really don't buy the fact that that was the knee brace locking up on him. That was, I believe, something with the knee.
Jeff, were you covering the team or around the team in 2009?
Yeah, that was my first season.
Okay, so there's been a lot of comparisons between this team and that one. Is that a fair comparison?
Not really, because the locker room culture in 2009 really wasn't that good. I mean, it wasn't terrible in 2009. I mean, there are bad locker rooms in the NFL, and that was not a bad locker room. It was just uncharacteristically off the rails for a Belichick locker room, in the sense that you had guys like, you know, Randy Moss and Adalis Thomas, who really weren't Sean Springs, who just really weren't afraid to speak their minds, in the sense that it was detrimental to the culture in that locker room. You had that situation when it snowed, and you know, Moss and Guyton and Burgess and Thomas were all late and got sent home. And, you know, then you had the Jetsons comments from Adalis Thomas. But if you want to say that, you know, this team is going into the playoffs and is clearly not a Super Bowl favorite the way that the 2009 team was at this time of the year, then I guess that's a similarity. But I wouldn't compare the locker room cultures.
All right. It was a little embarrassing for the Patriots on Sunday, letting a guy that wasn't a full-time running back in college, let alone in the NFL, run all over him. What's going on with this run defense? What are you seeing, and who's to blame?
I'm honestly, it's just about everybody. It's bad. And it comes down to, I mean, it's hard to say. It's one-on-one battles. And there are too many guys who are just losing their one-on-one battles. I mean, I feel like I've lost count of the times that I've seen a team double block either Lawrence Guy or Trey Flowers, and then because those are the two guys that you really got to take out of the play. Those are your two most consistent defensive linemen. They have been all season long. So if you can double team those two, you can usually count on one offensive lineman winning another battle, and that gets you into the second level right there. So when you're able to do that, and then if you add a fullback into the mix or a pulling lineman, you get him on a linebacker, and that's what's kind of leading to these longer runs. But again, you double-team a guy and then count on another one-on-one victory if you're an offensive line, and you're getting 5-6 yards almost automatically, especially over the last 3 weeks. So that's what's pretty discouraging about the run defense. It's not a scheme thing. It's just, you know, you kind of start winning more battles. It's as simple as that.
Well, that leads me to the question I asked you last week. You know, why isn't Danny Shelton playing? I mean, you didn't have an answer last week. Has there been any clarity to this because they got him or traded for him specifically because he was a run stuffer and might win some of those battles, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, he must either be horrendous at practice or did something. But, I mean, we did get a chance to at least talk to Shelton last week, and it would have been surprising if he answered it differently, but, you know, I asked him, have you been given a reason why you haven't been active? And at that point, it was the previous two games. Now it's three. And he said, no, not really. But, I mean, that's sort of the MO. I think it's usually up to players to kind of figure it out on their own. When you had, you know, a situation like, let's say, Alan Branch last year, like, that was obvious. That guy was underperforming in a major way, and you knew that he wasn't going to see the field, especially when everybody else was healthy around him. With Shelton, I mean, just coming off of the Miami game and to a lesser extent the Vikings game, the way that they had been giving up a ton of yards per carry, I mean, this was the time to activate him in Pittsburgh, and they still didn't do it. So I'm kind of at a loss because at worst, I mean, I understand Shelton has been underwhelming this season. I don't think he's been awful. So I think he can help. And then you look at the other side where, look, it's at least going to help the depth. You know, you take a little pressure off of Malcolm Brown, who's been struggling the last few weeks. You know, you give him a chance to go to the sideline and take a breather and bring in Shelton. You know, there was a play, I think it was the first run of the fourth quarter, when the Steelers ran right up the middle and Dietrich Wise and Adam Butler were your defensive tackles. Now, that's a pass rush formation, But, you know, they were out there, and the Steelers beat you on a running down. So, you know, you need the extra body, in my opinion. And with seven healthy scratches, there were ways to find a way to activate Shelton and sit somebody else.
All right, the only reason that it's not completely doom and gloom right now with the Patriots is because the AFC's just weird, as is the NFC. Like, I mean, these teams that you thought were going to be juggernauts going into the playoffs, all of a sudden you're finding that they're fallible, they're not playing as well. I mean, you know, the Chiefs, their offense isn't as potent as it was when Kareem Hunt was there. I don't think anybody believes in the Texans versus the Patriots. They've beaten both the teams that are seated ahead of them. On top of that, you know, you've got what's happening in the NFC with the Saints having a hard time scoring, and the Rams, Jared Goff just looks completely lost. So is it all doom and gloom for the Patriots right now, or are we just in a position where nobody really knows what's going to happen in the playoffs?
Yeah, you're 100% right on that. I mean, the league itself is, 2 weeks ago, it looked like there were maybe five or six juggernaut type of teams going into the playoffs, and it looked like it was going to be awesome. And, you know, just heavyweight battle after heavyweight battle in every single round. And now it's like, you know, you look at the Chargers as maybe the only team that's playing to its peak potential at this point. The Chiefs, like you said, yeah, they're winning, but they don't look like the Chiefs. The Saints, similar with them. They've struggled over the last few weeks. They got off to these slow starts, and, you know, Drew Brees wasn't that great last night. The Rams have been, I'm completely at a loss for words at how bad the Rams offense, and particularly Jared Goff, has been without Cooper Kupp. And then, you know, again, it's just nobody like the Texans. I mean, we don't even need to say it. So, yeah, the Patriots are going to get hot the next 2 weeks because they're going to roll over the Bills and the Jets, and they're going to go into the playoffs on a high note. And if they're fortunate and the Texans give one away against the Eagles or the Jaguars down the stretch, then they'll be the number two seed, you know, back right where they were supposed to be really entering the final month of the season. So, yeah, they're going to feel good about themselves going into the playoffs, whether it's a wild card game or they get that first round bye. And, you know, I know they shouldn't feel great about the regular season. There's no doubt about that. But right now, I mean, the Chargers are not unbeatable. There's not a single unbeatable team in the league. Now, if they were going into if they had this two-game losing streak, you know, 2 weeks ago when all these NFL superpowers were flying high and looking really, really good, then it's like, all right, well, you know how January is going to end. But right now, I don't think we can say for sure that any one of these great teams is unbeatable going into the playoffs. Not at all.
You're sure that they're going to roll over Buffalo? No, I'm not lying.
No, I know what you're saying. I mean, you don't, yeah, listen, the last 2 weeks, everything's in doubt.
Well, Buffalo hasn't been awful. I mean, Buffalo, I mean, their games are slogs and they're boring, but, I mean, their defense isn't horrible. I mean, you're positive they're going to roll on Buffalo?
No, I mean, that's fair. I'm not positive about anything with the Patriots right now, but I think being at home at this point in the season, you got to feel pretty good. And you're right, Buffalo, they compete their tails off. They have something to play for this late in the season, which, you know, last year they got into the playoffs. That was different. But usually this time of year, you know, Buffalo's making golf plans. Nobody wants to get hurt. You'd much rather be on a beach than in a hospital bed, you know, recovering from surgery. So, you know, maybe you let up a little bit more. But they got a promising young quarterback, and they do fight. So, yeah, I mean, Buffalo's going to come in and give you more of a battle than you would probably have expected or penciled in for a Week 16 matchup at Gillette Stadium. But still, I mean...
Right. I understand what you're saying, but I wouldn't put it out of the realm of... Like, the Jets, I understand. But I wouldn't put it out of the absolute realm of possibility that could be a little tighter game than people are maybe expecting.
The way the season's gone, there is nothing out of the realm of possibility with these guys right now.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Jeff Howe, you can read him at The Athletic. He covers the Patriots. We appreciate the time as always.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, you do too. The same. You want to talk a little bit about Artie Lang?
Yeah, that's I just saw the picture, man.
It's messed up. All right. We'll talk about that. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Thatcher and Rich. A lot of people are putting out this pictures recently of Artie Lang in court. Artie Lang, obviously, was part of the Stern Show for a long time. He was in one of the great underrated comedies of all time in Dirty Work.
I think it's your favorite comedy, isn't it?
No.
I thought you said it was your favorite comedy.
Anchorman's my favorite comedy.
Oh, okay.
No, Dirty Work is great in at a different level.
Norm MacDonald.
Yes, and Norm MacDonald being a romantic lead is what is funny, and I think he knows why it's funny.
Well, I think he's talked about that movie and how awkward the love scenes were with him and Courtney Thorne Smith.
No, it's the girl that was in Two Guys in a Pizza Place.
Oh,
Two
okay.
Guys and a Girl in a Pizza Place.
Okay.
We're not trying to be friends.
Courtney Thorne Smith was the Carrot Top movie where she was a romantic
lead. Chairman of the Board.
Chairman of the Board.
And now you're thinking of one of the great talk show appearances of all time where Norm MacDonald is next to Courtney Thorne Smith on Conan O'Brien.
That's exactly right. Why I connected the dots. And you're exactly right. And subconsciously, that is why I thought that.
When she said something like, I have the movie with Carrot Top. And he goes, oh, I think I know the name. Box office poison. So, yes. So the thing with Artie Lang is that he got out of rehab and unfortunately he's on this Subtox or whatever it's called, which you give if you do heroin, it makes you really sick. Subtex maybe is what it is. Not Subox. Subox. And he had cocaine in his system.
He's on 4 years probation, so he had to check in and they didn't really do anything to him, even though when he was tested, they found that in his blood.
Well, they're smart because they're making him go to this very strict rehab instead of putting him in jail, which is what, I don't understand putting someone in jail where you can have access to drugs and just go out and do more drugs is why you solve that problem or how you solve that problem. It would seem that putting people into rehabilitation would be a much more effective method, but his nose is like caved in upon himself.
There's no cartilage left. Just imagine that bone that goes through the center of your nose being gone, and what's left is just a flat flap.
Yeah, and I've never seen that. I haven't seen it, but I know a person, a girl, who has a hole in her, what is it, your septum, the thing in the middle?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's there, but they maybe fixed it, but she did enough cocaine where it created like at least a small hole in her septum.
Well, this is more than that. The reason his nose is that way, because according to NJ.com, it said that he had to have surgery on his nose due to not only years of snorting cocaine and heroin, there was also one incident in which he accidentally snorted glass when trying to suck up smashed Oxy tablets, which left him with no septum. And that's the reason his nose is the way it is. Yeah, I mean, there's literally no bone now anymore.
Yeah, and so I'm wondering if anyone's seen anything like that. If anyone has, because they say snorting glass, but there's some skepticism of that, if that would do it, just that on its own.
Because why would just snorting cocaine do that? Like, is it because, does cocaine have a property that eats away at bone?
The cartilage, I don't know. I don't know. I've never done cocaine.
Yeah, I've heard that theory, but I just don't know why it would wreck somebody's septum.
Well, I know someone whose nose doesn't look like Artie's, but is a lot stranger than it was before she started doing cocaine, and she claims that it ate away at the cartilage. In fact, it doesn't look as bad as Artie's, but it's no great thing. Scott, go ahead.
Hey guys, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
So I went into New York City this weekend, and we got tickets to the Comedy Cellar in Manhattan Friday night. And it was a great show. It was four comedians doing their thing, and MC gets up, and at the end of it, and I introduces Artie Lang, and I'm like, oh, yeah, great. Jeez, Artie Lang, Howard Stern. I give my wife the nudge. I go, this guy's from Howard Stern. He comes out, and it looked like it just pulled him off the street. His nose looked like a Hershey Kiss on top of one of those cookies you put in the oven that collapsed. It was just horrifying, and he was terrible, terrible.
Now, yeah, did he seem out of it?
Kind of, from what you've seen of him before. He had a cigarette in his hand. He almost lost his pants three or four times. When I say he looked like they just pulled him off the street out of an alley, that's exactly what he looked like.
Yeah, it's very disturbing looking. And he's always, he's always been self-deprecating. He has two books, both of which I've read, Too Fat to Fish, and then there was another one, where he's been very open about, there was a story that he had where he was on Mad TV and they had put him in this pig makeup and he was driving around trying to get drugs with this big pig makeup on. Jack, go ahead.
Hey, I have the same thing as Artie Lang.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God. It just, when you blow your nose, the college just comes right out of your nose.
Yeah. Now, how did you do it?
Same way.
Oh, was it glass?
Not heroin. Oh, no. Just from snorting cocaine.
Okay, now, someone found that funny. Was it just coke, or was there a situation? Because he said that he had some smashed up glass do that.
No, it wasn't smashed up glass. But years ago, I was hooked on oxys, and I was sniffing them too, so I'm sure that didn't help.
So what does that do? Did the doctor tell you? I mean, does it eat away at the bone, or how does it end up? How do you lose it?
It eats away at the cartilage, just from, you know, the cut or whatever they put in, you know, the binding agent and the pills.
Right.
So it just eats away at the thing. But from years of doing it, you blow your nose and there'll be just a piece of cartilage in there.
Oh, man. Boy. How you doing now? Have you cleaned up?
Clean and sober.
Good, man. Good to
for
hear.
You. Good for you.
Jeez, man. Oh.
Got to blow your nose, get a little ledge in it.
Jeez. Matt,
don't cut the cart before the ledge.
Imagine being so addicted to something that you find sneezing out your cartilage out of your nose being perfectly fine.
I don't think you think it's perfectly fine. I just think that you're kind of hopeless in that.
Powerless to stop
but,
it.
Yeah. But I mean, if like that's not the thing that makes you go, whoa, all right, maybe I need to stop.
It's a very tough thing to do.
Addiction is not easy.
Very tough thing to do. Yeah, it shows you the power, especially of oxys, which are, by the way, legal. Craig, but it's a big thing that it's now available at two spots in Massachusetts, and people are lining up around the world to go sit at these two marijuana shops. But by the way, OxyContin's available fairly easily, legally too. Craig, go ahead.
Hey guys, hey.
Hey.
Hey, just kind of touch a base about how cocaine affects your septum, you know. So I'm a nurse, but so what happens is cocaine is a powerful vasoconstrictor. So it limits the blood supply to your peripheral area, but it also, on contact to your nose, it actually causes the blood vessels that feed blood to your septum and the areas around there to actually not lose blood flow. So if you continually use a lot of cocaine, it causes lack of blood flow, which in the end will kill your septum.
Jeez, man. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Well, there you go.
Ay, ay, ay. But, I mean, you know, Artie Lang, it just looks like just a big flat, like a pancake almost in the middle of his face.
Yeah. Well, he's still doing sets at the Cellar, so he's got that going for him. I'll tell you, I'm doing that intermittent fasting.
That's where you take a day off?
No. Well, there's two ways to do it. There's several ways to do it, but there's a way.
The Jimmy Kimmel way is that you take a day off like once or twice a week. He just doesn't eat like during the, like,
yeah.
There's 2 days out of the week he doesn't eat.
So that is one way that you can do it. And the other way is that you can get a 6-hour window where you do it. And you can eat during that 6-hour window. But other than that, you don't eat. And what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to obviously get your body to burn fat because it's supposed to be better for insulin and all these things.
What's your window you chose?
Midnight to 6 a.m.
Yeah, midnight to 6 a.m. Yeah,
sleeping on the food. It's always good.
I have not. I do not have strict hours. It depends on some other factors like what I have to do. But it is. I'm sure I'm going to stick with it for a very long time.
How's the weight going? How much are you down?
I don't know. It's all over the place. All I know is that my BMI is lower than Nick's. So, because he has been told he's obese, and I am a 27, which is just fat. So I'm in the fat range, and Nick's at the obese range. Now, Nick does, in fairness, have open-heart surgery.
Mitigating factor, indeed, yes.
So maybe you give him, like, a pound for that. But I will tell you this. As a relatively healthy about to be 44-year-old, I am, my body fat percentage is slower than Nick's. Isn't that exciting, Nick? Yep, that's exciting.
It's all the lean muscle I have, is what the thing is.
is that, like, you might go, hey, you have a big gut, and then I'll go, yeah, but you don't know what's under, you don't know what's going on in the old gluteus maximus and the quads. I mean, you're going to have to, I mean, I got to buy new pants all the time, and they say, why? And I just, the quads, stretching the fabric.
What's the name of that dude that you liked? The
Quadzilla.
Quadzilla.
Quadzilla, you know what? You're going to be so big, people. You're going to walk down the beach, and people from a mile away are going to say, look at those traps. Yeah, he was fantastic. I knew a trainer that would do his workouts, which were these timed workouts. And you would hear what this guy was saying, and you'd be like, how are you doing this with a straight face? Just keep working. Your quads are going to be so big. Like, yes. Yeah, they're going to be huge. I got obsessed with this Piana guy who was a bodybuilder, and he's dead now. But what some of these bodybuilders will do is they inject glass into them to make their muscles bigger.
Oh, well, that sounds like a wise move.
Well, no, it kills a lot of them. But my suggestion is, if you want to live a long, productive life, do not get super into bodybuilding and taking a bunch of steroids. Because this guy, and his videos are fascinating. I watch him almost every day.
Bulk legs. Here come Quadzilla. That is your new name. That's right. Because you're going to get big legs. No, you're going to get huge legs. And you know what? You're going to have to get new pants. Because you're not just going to get big. You're going to get huge. Quadzilla is coming with dynamic set training. So here we go, guys.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
Tom, is the dynasty over?
Tough way to start tonight, man.
Well, tough game yesterday to watch and to play, I'm sure.
Yeah, tough game to play. Tough game for our fans. And, you know, we watched on film today. It's tough to watch. So just had some opportunities out there that, really limited us, and not scoring any points, or really 10 points on the road, isn't going to win you many games in the NFL. So, you know, we got to do a lot better job this week.
A lot of people in Boston, a lot of people who follow and cover the team are jumping off the bridge. Are you?
Absolutely not. You know, I've always said it's hard to win a game in the NFL, and, you know, you can't take winning for granted.
Jim Gray with the tough question. Is the dynasty over? And then, I mean, quote him on it. Tom Brady says, no. Dynasty's not over.
After he says, man, this is you're starting things off tough. I know I saw the question that you sent me beforehand right on my sheet here, but, man, I'm taken by surprise.
And then Gray's like, well, you know, that's the way the gray man rolls.
That's right. Yeah. As you said, you've entered Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, this is Castle Grayskull. Call me Skeletor, because I'm giving you the business, He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Get over there with those pliable muscles. That's 2 weeks in a row where I think he said, like, that's a tough way to start the interview.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There was the whole thing about Miami, and he was like, man.
Gray.
Where are you going with this one, Gray? What are you doing?
Coming out of left field.
Just bringing the heat.
Now, I know that you were there for some weird reason when I was interviewed by Oprah on some weird island, but nonetheless, like, just hanging out.
You're talking about Super Soul Sunday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of soul, you think of no one got more sold than the Braves.
Yep. But it is weird. As bad as the Patriots have looked, everyone else doesn't look that great.
Well, they're winning.
Who's winning?
I mean, Kansas City's winning.
I mean, they lost recently. They lost the Chargers.
Yeah, but they lost to the Chargers.
Chargers are a good team, sure.
Right.
But they don't look infallible. I mean, infallible. I mean, the offense isn't explosive as it was. The defense has always been suspect.
That was the point of Jeff Howe. 2 weeks ago, there were certain teams that looked unbeatable, and now that's not the case.
I think that's more the NFC. I don't think that the Chiefs ever looked unbeatable. I mean, the Patriots beat them. I think that in the NFC, with the what's happened with LA and what's happened.
The Rams are a cluster F.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest, I've enjoyed every single meme that's been out there of somebody grabbing the hair of Sean McVay and pulling it off a mask, and it's Jeff Fisher underneath. Surprise! Because they've looked like a Jeff Fisher-led team for the last several weeks. And Goff is... What has happened to him? Yeah. Like, he's gone, and I don't know if it's just because Cooper Kupp isn't there anymore, and he needs that security blanket, but, I mean, that whole offense has looked atrocious. And then you got the Texans. So the Texans play Philadelphia this week. I haven't seen the spread. Is it around five? I think I might have seen that it was around five. But that's not going to be an automatic for the Texans. So, and Fred, I'm kind of with you. Who knows what the hell the Patriots are going to do the next 2 weeks? People are immediately saying that it's a given, but... Would you put anything past?
Eagles minus one.
Oh, that's it?
It's in Philly.
Yeah, it's in Philadelphia.
Wow. Well, that's going to be one to watch.
Over under 45 and a half. Let it ride, baby.
Oh, by the way, the Bankroll Boys couldn't have been more wrong about that Maine game.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They got crushed, didn't they?
They got absolutely crushed.
Yeah.
All right, so we will revisit something so wonderful you won't be able to miss it. And that will happen in... under 2 minutes, as we will have no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.